Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Markowski sitting in for the good doctor, Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Welcome to the program. You know, you never forget your first time, your first kiss, first love, and you never forget your first time you listen to the Michael Savage Show. I remember, it's so funny how I remember this. I'm sitting in a car in New Jersey. After I left, I was actually doing a radio interview at a station there, actually talking about the demise of the dot-coms and nonsense that I handle, and flipping around stations on the AM dial in the parking lot after the interview. And first time I heard Michael Savage. And I sat there in that parking lot for a good hour. Never heard the program before in my entire life. But I was mesmerized by this man who's fearless. If someone was to ask me, how would you describe Michael Savage? I'd say fearless. Saying what you believe. Saying what you mean. Too often in our society, we're told that opinionated is no good. You can't be opinionated. You gotta mold. You gotta be like all the lemmings. You gotta be like a sheep. You gotta follow everybody else. I remember being told that. Told that when I was a kid. You're too opinionated, Chris. You got to keep your opinions to yourself. Too opinionated. Wrong. Opinions, ideas, are what make this country great. Are what make this country strong. And after listening, sitting in that parking lot for over an hour, hooked. Like I said, everybody knows. Everybody's listening to the program right now. Remembers the first time they heard Michael Savage. Remembers it like it was yesterday. And is better off for it. Anyway, we got a lot we got to go over on today's show. A lot of news stories. And obviously, first and foremost, I want to welcome everybody to the program. And we're going to open up the phone lines throughout the entire show. 1-800-449-TALK is the number. 800-449-TALK. And we're going to talk right now a little bit about the Lion of the Senate, or the so-called Lion of the Senate. Can't go anywhere. I don't care what news station it is. It is wall-to-wall Ted Kennedy. Nothing but Ted Kennedy all the time, Ted Kennedy. And nothing but positive Ted Kennedy. Now, I understand that you do not want to dance on anyone's grave. I understand that, you know, you got to give a little bit of time before you start going after this guy. But I'm a tad bit frightened at how the media is going to end up translating this thing. I have a funny feeling that this guy, much like his brother, who is president, is going to be made to be something that he is not. And all the transgressions, all the errors in judgment are going to be swept under the rug. And they're going to turn this guy into some type of God. You know, that drives me crazy all the time. I talk about this a lot, and I've written about it. Today's day and age, we drive around, we see so many buildings, highways, bridges, roads, named after politicians. We've got one down here. I'm from Southwest Florida. We've got the Bob Graham Skyway Bridge. And I say to myself, did Bob Graham pay for that bridge? Or was it the taxpayers that paid for that bridge? And that's what's going to happen. We're going to start seeing Ted Kennedy schools. We're going to start seeing Ted Kennedy highways, Ted Kennedy post office. It's going to be Ted Kennedy all the time. Now, everybody heard a lot of the you listen to any of the news today, heard a lot of the montages from the various different political leaders out there. I want to play a couple. I want to play Joe Biden's, two of Joe Biden's comments.
I sat with him on the Senate floor in the same aisle. I sat with him in the Judiciary Committee next, physically next to him. And I sat with him in the caucuses. And it was in that process. Every day I was with him, and this is going to sound strange, but he restored my sense of idealism and my faith in the possibilities of what this country could do. So many of his foes embrace him because they know he made them bigger. He made them more graceful by the way in which he conducted himself. You know, he changed the circumstances of tens of millions of Americans in a literal sense. Literally changed the circumstances.
I listened to this. Let's take the first clip. He's talking about how Biden's talking about how Kennedy restored his sense of idealism and his faith in the possibilities of what this country could do. It's funny. I don't see that in politicians. I see that in Joe, the guy who owns a diner on the corner. Bob, the guy who owns a dry cleaning shop. The people that own small businesses, that employ, the people that are actually in the trenches. Not someone who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth and was basically given the Senate position. And he talks about it. I heard this how many times today with no follow-up. Ted Kennedy changed the circumstances of thousands of Americans, literally. Literally. How is that possible? How? Tell me how. Where? Where did he change my circumstances? What did you ever ask? What did Ted Kennedy do for you? What did he do for me? Oh, well, you know what? He did build the largest public works project in the history of the planet. The big dig in Boston, which was completely unnecessary and a waste of taxpayer dollars. I know that one, but I can't think of anything else. Oh, but wait a second. Hold your horses. Ted Kennedy said in 1969, that he wants to have universal health care. And what do we have already today? Already today, Robert Byrd coming out and saying, we need to rename the health care bill the Ted Kennedy bill. It needs to be named after Ted Kennedy. Robert Reich, former labor secretary under Bill Clinton, saying the exact same thing. Using Ted Kennedy to push some legislation. This is so eerily reminiscent of the Paul Wellstone Memorial. Everybody remember the Paul Wellstone Memorial? Paul Wellstone, senator from Minnesota, died in an airplane crash, and they held this big rally. I think we got a clip from it somewhere, guys, right?
We will carry on the fight. We will carry on the struggle. We will carry on the tradition. We will carry on the pride. We will carry on the struggle. And we will carry on the legacy. And we will do it for Paul. And I'll tell you what, Mom, you're right. We will win. 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 We will win.
Well, you know what? I invite the left, I invite the Democratic Party to rename the health care bill after Kennedy. But the secret here is, people, and you're hearing it right here on the Savage Nation, the secret is Ted Kennedy's not so popular in flyover country. Yeah, may sell in Massachusetts, New York, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., with the politicians, but he's not so popular. And they're going to stick their foot in their mouth. We've got a caller on the line. We got Lou from New York. Lou, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
I'm just taking this all in. I'm a surgeon on Long Island, and, you know, certainly it's a sad day, I guess. But, you know, I think Ted Kennedy epitomized the fact that none of these politicians will have the courage and personal integrity to step out of the the dogma of their own party. He epitomized what is wrong with politics today. I mean, this guy just followed everything dogmatically, whether it was right or wrong. He just stood right by it. This thing with universal health care, I would love someone to chronicle the care that he received. I'm sure he didn't go to his local neighborhood physician. He probably went to the Mayo Clinic and every center of excellence in this country because he had the privilege to do so. He didn't have the same type of treatment you or I would have. He had specialized treatment. If he had universal health care, he would have had none of that, if he would have had to follow his own words. I mean, it was just so hypocritical, I can't even take it.
Well, I agree with you 110%, Lou, because you know what? I'll share a personal story right here. My younger brother and partner, Michael, the one I shared bedrooms with growing up, the one that I fought with growing up, was just diagnosed with cancer. And if we went through the entire thing and how he went about the MRIs, all the tests that he had to go through, if we lived in Canada, he wouldn't know. He wouldn't know today that he had cancer, and he wouldn't be getting the treatments that is going to save his life. Lou, thanks for the phone call. Guys, we got to take a break right here. This is Chris Markowski filling in for the great doctor, Dr. Michael Savage, here at the Savage Nation. Hey, I want to remind everybody out there, the good doctor, once again, he's got another book that's coming out, and you know it. It's going to be another New York Times bestseller. You can pre-order it at his website at michaelsavage.com. Banned in Britain is the title. Pre-ordered at michaelsavage.com. Don't go anywhere. Taking your phone calls, 1-800-449-TALK. We'll be back.
Savage.
Lines are popping. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Chris Markowski doing all he can to fill in for the great Michael Savage. We got Robert on the line from Ohio, disagrees with me. Robert, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Very good.
I'm 66 years old. I'm a retired steel worker, and thank God for Ted Kennedy and their family. If you remember, three of them died serving their country, and Ted Kennedy, he helped protect Social Security, Medicare, and my pension. Republicans, they had to give me 10 pounds of potatoes at the end of the month. They never cared for the working man.
Okay. Wait. Stop. Okay, now you're just pontificating. You're just using words. You're reading off some ridiculous thing. Help save your Social Security. Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. It's a Ponzi scheme. It is what it is, Robert. Mm-hmm. It is a Ponzi scheme worthy of Bernie Madoff. In fact, if I was Bernie Madoff's New York lawyer, as the great doctor would say, I'd go in and I'd say, hey, I give the Social Security defense. These people, the problem is, Robert, okay, and we can go back and forth for hours saying what the Kennedys did and how evil the Republicans are and how evil this one is. This is the problem. Our founding fathers, and if you read about how this country was founded, and you read the Federalist Papers, they wanted people to go and serve their country, and then get out. Go home. Go back to the farm. Go back to their business. Why aren't you in Congress? What makes you any less bright than Ted Kennedy? The problem we have right now is we got a bunch of useful idiots there in Washington, D.C. Watch C-SPAN sometime. Chris Dodd, in charge of the banking committee. Has he ever worked in a bank? Does he know anything about banking? Has he ever held a real job in his life? Has he ever had to make payroll? Has he ever had to sign the front of a check, come up with a marketing plan? No. What we have in this country, 98, 99% of the people in Congress went to college, went to law school, went to Washington. We need to have a reset button. We need to get some of these people out. Now, I'm not saying that everything that Ted Kennedy did was bad or wrong by any stretch of the imagination. But he's not this god that they're making them out to be. He's not.
Security check.
What's that?
You're going to get a pension, Social Security check?
No, I'm not going to get a Social Security check. I'm 38 years old. Social Security is not going to be around when I'm going to get it. It's not going to be there. It's impossible. I'm not going to get a Social Security check. And I tell all of my people, all my clients, the same thing. If you're in your 20s, your 30s, and your 40s, up to 50, don't expect on getting Social Security. In fact, you have no legal right to Social Security. Fleming versus Nestor, 1963, Supreme Court case. They could cancel Social Security tomorrow, and you could be left with nothing. A Ponzi scheme is a Ponzi scheme, and I don't think we should be taking anybody's Social Security money away, but we certainly need to have some reform. When the Social Security was designed and the mortality rate in this country was under 50 years old, it's most certainly different today when it's 78 years old. I mean, this is just simple math. Anyway, thanks for the call, Robert. We got Barbara on the phone from Ohio as well. Barbara, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, hello, Chris. I just wanted to say you're absolutely right about Ted Kennedy not being popular in flyover country. I'm from Ohio, and we judge people by what they do, not by what they say. And when he left that young woman to die alone in that car submerged in the water and left her there for hours, he defined himself, and he did not redeem himself in the rest of his life. So let them name the health care bill after him, and it will be another nail in the coffin of the health care bill. No pun intended.
Yeah, I'm right with you, Barbara. I said let them go. Just let them keep doing what they're doing because they keep stepping in it every step away. Let them keep talking. Name the bill after Kennedy. Go ahead. See if that's a real good sales point. Great point, Barbara. Thanks for the phone call. We got another call here on the line. We've got Brian from Mississippi. Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
No, I couldn't agree with you more on the Social Security. I want all my Social Security money back, if possible, or not to have to put any more into it. But
hold on one second. Can I make a real quick point? I wrote a column about this years ago. Social Security, you got to think about this for a second. If an investment advisor presented the Social Security plan to you, the SEC could put him in jail. That's how bad this plan is. The government is forcing you, taking your money, telling you that they're investing it in some sort of prudent manner, which they do not. There is no Social Security trust fund. There is a file cabinet in West Virginia filled with IOUs. It's like that movie Dumb and Dumber when they got the IOUs in the box. Brian, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We got to take a break right here. Stay with me. I'll get back to your point when we get back from the break. You are listening to the Savage Nation. I'm not the good doctor. This is Chris Markowski filling in for him. Make sure you get to Michael's website, michaelsavage.com. We'll be back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the all-powerful Savage Nation. I'm Chris Markowski, filling in for the good doctor today. We're going to go back to Brian in Mississippi. Brian, I'm sorry I interrupted you there, but I had to get that point across. I sometimes get ADD, and I got to get some points across, but thanks for calling the program.
No problem. Can you hear me?
Yep, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, well, I just want to make sure that everyone knows, you know, that he's a son of a gangster, an unprosecuted killer, and to make him out to be a hero is a travesty. I don't understand it.
Most people don't realize that. The reason why Joe Kennedy, his father, was put in charge of the Securities and Exchange Commission, the original Securities and Exchange Commission, was because he was a financial crook and he could actually find out who the crooks are, which was kind of smart if you think about it, because that's what they should be doing today. They need to start employing some of these crooks like they do with the computer hackers. But you're right on, Brian. Right on. And you know what? Let's see if that's talked about. Let's see if there's any coverage of that whatsoever. Thanks for the call. We got Michael on the line from Albany, New York. And the reason why I go to you, Michael, I'm from Albany, New York. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chris. It's a pleasure to hear your voice. Ted Kennedy, I think, is one of the most despicable human beings that lived way too long. This man should have gone, not Mary Jo Kopechne. She should have lived. There should have been a reversal. He has destroyed this country. This health care system, they still don't get it to this day. And rally after rally, they think we're not going to stand up.
Well, Michael, let me cut you off real quick. And you said something. You said he destroyed this country. Now, I'm someone, and this is my belief, that whenever there's something wrong, if I do something wrong at work or something bad happens, I always look myself in the mirror and I say, where did I screw up? I think you're giving this man too much power by saying that he screwed up the country. Who screwed up the country are not the politicians. It's we the people. Because we're the ones that continue to put these people into office. The same names, the same faces, year after year. How does this guy continue to get elected year after year after year? So whatever he does, it's our fault. You following me?
Well, I'm following to a certain point. Remember, I'm not a liberal. You're not a liberal. The liberals, the people that get sucked in with the lies. See, what I'm driving at is the lies of the entire Kennedy clan. They built them up for Camelot, for these superhuman beings. They were nothing. He was an animal, John Kennedy. He never stayed with his wife, but they go through that. Joe Kennedy sold guns, sold liquor, was into prostitution. That's how he made his money.
Wiretap Martin Luther King. There's a ton of stories, and none of this stuff comes to the forefront, and I'm going to tell you why. Now, Dr. Michael Savage came up with one of the most brilliant phrases ever. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Now, I tried to attempt to explain in my program what liberalism is all about. Now, if you ever happen to be with a liberal and you happen to get a couple drinks in them, they're going to actually explain to you, Michael, the way that they think and the way they believe. And I believe there's two different types of liberals. There's the type of liberal that is an elitist, believes that he or she is better than everybody else, and it is their duty, it is their calling to rule, to tell you what to do, to manage your lives because they're brighter, they're smarter, and they're better than you. And there's the other type of liberal who just goes along with it and wants to be taken care of, that doesn't want to be responsible for their own health care, that doesn't want to be responsible for their own lives, is more concerned with watching, you know, American Idol and John and Kate plus eight and all this other nonsense. That's what liberalism is. It's two different facets, according to me.
Well, if you took out the 15, 18, 20 million illegal, that word illegal means nothing to a liberal as long as they can count his vote. And if you take those people out, you got 20 more million jobs in the United States. Why don't the people who are doing it now at these rallies, they're starting to come together. This is the first time I've actually seen them fight back against the mental disorder that Dr. Savage talks about. I didn't believe it until I started listening to him, and now I'm listening to you, and I am so happy. I'm so enamored by this. This is what I need to hear. I don't want it to stop.
I came out. The Tea Party thing was a thing that really started kicking it off back on tax April 15th. And I spoke at a tea rally here in my small town in Sarasota, Florida. And we expected a couple hundred people to come out. No big deal. You know, it was a new thing. We're just getting the word out. Thousands showed up. People were showing up from all over the place, all over the country. And they keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, you're right, Michael. It warms my heart, too. It really does, because there's been points in time when, you know, it's difficult to get out of bed in the morning. I used to, you know what it was really difficult for me to get out of the bed in the morning, Michael, was when, remember when HBO was running the John Adams series on TV? Did you watch that program by any chance?
Yeah.
It was a great program. And I called it Monday Morning Melancholy. I loved that show so much. And I just to watch, you know, our founding fathers and what great men these people were. And I would be so upset Monday morning, you know, turning on C-SPAN, watching these people, the Maxine Waters, the John Conyers, as they stand on the Chuck Schumers, standing on their soapbox, just lying to the American people, manipulating people. It'd make me sick to my stomach. Michael, thanks for coming. Hey, did you get out to the track at all this year?
No, I'm a disabled American veteran from Vietnam.
God bless you and God bless your service, my friend.
Wander. I don't even bring that up anymore about Kennedy and Johnson throwing me into the fray in Vietnam in 66. But what I wanted to say is I see more communists coming out of the woodwork, like this Mark Lloyd or whatever his name is, this I don't even know what he is. He's the czar or something.
There's lots of them. There's lots of them with communist ties. And you know what disgusts me about the left here in this country? Is they're dishonest. They're dishonest. They're not telling you who they really are and what they really stand for. It's that whole Saul Alinsky bit there. At least in Europe, you go over to Europe and they have their communist parties and they let you know who they are. I mean, at least the bloody KKK here in the United States, they'll tell you who they are. And it's good. You know who they are. You know who the bad guys are. But these people, they hide behind it. The only one out of all of them, Michael, that told you exactly who he was and what he was all about was Barack Hussein Obama, our president. And you know what? No one listened. Nobody listened. Michael, thanks for the phone call. Really appreciate it. We got, we got lines popping all over the place. We got Ed from Virginia on the line. Ed, welcome to the program.
Hey, Chris, thanks for taking my phone call. Just one quick comment. The only reason why the Democrats are trying to get this bill, this health care bill, renamed to the Ted Kennedy bill is to get the albatross off Barack Obama's neck. I mean, it's going to fail, but if they get it off Obama's neck, then it doesn't look that bad to him as a president. That's all I got to say. Have a great day.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate the phone call. I don't know if that's, you know, that's necessarily the case. It could be. You could be right on that one. Not exactly sure. But health care is something that I've covered, I've talked about for years, written columns about it. The problem with healthcare is the fundamental problem we have with healthcare here in the United States is we like to call it health insurance. No. We don't have health insurance here in the United States. Well, we do. We do have health insurance, but most people don't have it. Think about the concept of insurance. Insurance is something you buy in case something really bad happens. For example, you buy insurance on your car. You get insurance on your car in case that there's a big accident and a big expense, and you need to get take care of something. Or I'm in Southwest Florida. I've got insurance on my house because of hurricanes. But you know what? My car insurance most certainly does not cover oil changes or when I need a new tire or for fill-ups at the gas station. My home insurance most certainly does not cover light bulb changes and mowing the lawn once a week. If we had, and we do have, George W. Bush put it into play, and it's brilliant. I'll explain what I have. I have a family of five. I have my health care premium. People think I'm nuts. My health care premium, $3,000 a year. I have a $5,600 deductible. Follow the math here, people. $5,600 deductible. So what is that? Less than $9,000 a year in health care expenses in total. And you know what? If nobody gets sick, nobody gets sick the entire year, which is rare because the kids get sniffles and they get colds and they get sick from time to time. That $5,600 stays with me, stays in a health savings account, which you get a tax deduction on. It's simple and it works. No one is talking about the fact that when this was instituted, they've been measuring the cost increases for insurance, for health, for high deductible health insurance, and they're not going up like the rest of the insurance world out there. The whole system is a mess because people think that they have to go to the doctor for every single time they get a pimple on their forehead or they get a hangnail. And I've got to get my full boat health insurance plan. Think about this. If you owned an all-you-can-eat buffet, you owned an all-you-can-eat buffet, and on your all-you-can-eat buffet, you had filet mignon, lobster, oysters, caviars, and fresh grouper from the Gulf. People would gorge themselves. And that's what happens with healthcare. They overuse it. They don't manage their costs. They go for everything and anything because it's free. My employer's paying for it. It's free. No, it's not. Your employer has a fixed cost for you. You have your salary. You have the FICA contribution that he needs to make. Maybe some retirement plan and your healthcare. Wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be much, much better? Wouldn't we live in a much better world if you got that $15,000 a year that your employer is paying for your health care and you could go out and shop for your own bloody insurance, the same way you have to go out and you have to get your own home insurance and your own car insurance? This is just common sense. Not to mention the fact that I know the good doctor talks about this all the time. Tort reform. We need tort reform here in this country. The jury system it doesn't work. You get a bunch of idiots, a bunch of John and Kate plus 8 fans and American Idol fans sitting on a jury, and you get slick John Edwards up there channeling dead babies and science, logic, and reason. Well, you can kick that down the curb. And the costs for doctors go through the roof. There's so many illegal immigrants. I know Dr. Savage has done his research. He's gone down to the emergency rooms on Friday and Saturday night. I had a friend of mine, his wife was pregnant, who was feeling ill, and she had to go down to the emergency room a couple weeks ago, and I warned him. I said, you're going to be there for a long time. And it's right. Why are we not billing these home nations because we're taking care of their citizens? This is just common sense type of stuff. The push right now in this country, think about this. Well, health care is a right, Chris. It's a right. Everybody has the right to health care. It's a necessity. We've got to provide it for people. It's a right. Okay. I just got back from my vacation. I was in Greece. So I'm going to be Socratic. I'm going to be logical here. Let's follow the logic. Healthcare expenses are expensive. They're high. It's a right. People need to have them. Well, if it's just healthcare, why stop at healthcare? Everybody needs a house, right? Everybody needs a house. Home prices are too high. Government should take over the housing industry. Well, what else? Well, that's another necessity of life. Oh, food. Food. Ah, yeah. Why don't we take over the farms and the grocery stores and all means of food production? That worked real well in the Soviet Union. Worked fantastic there. Let's do that. You could see a number of things that people can make excuses for. Maxine Waters last year is a classic example. Maxine Waters last year, when they were parading the CEOs of the various different oil companies in front of Congress, waving their finger, you guys are bad, you guys are driving the oil price up. Meanwhile, they had nothing to do with it. It was the ridiculous traders and the dirtbags on Wall Street that drove the prices up. Maxine Waters actually suggested in congressional testimony that she was going to socialize the oil companies. You feeling all hopey-changey now, people? Gotta take a break. 1-800-449-TALK. Lines are filled, guys. I will get to you. Hang tight. We'll get there. 800-449-TALK. You are listening to the Savage Nation. We'll be back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I am Chris Markowski, filling in for the good doctor. I want to remind everybody out there to get to michaelsavage.com. The good doctor's working on another book, Banned in Britain, and you can pre-order it there. And anybody out there, you know the funny thing is, the great doctor's got a great business. He's done such a great job on his books that he's got continual repeat customers. And then if he gets someone to read a new one, then they go back and buy all the other ones. But you know what? They're worth every penny. Pre-order at michaelsavage.com. We got Steve on the line from Sacramento. Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Chris. I have two comments. One, you hit it right on the head with this cough. I had a neighbor who's a public school teacher. She walks over and she asked me if I had an ACE bandage. She had got out of her car and kind of sprained her ankle a little bit. I said, actually, no, I didn't. She says, oh, okay. She said, I don't want to go down to the store and buy one. They cost $15. So I'm going to have to go to an emergency. She says, I'll get it for free. So she goes down to the emergency, racks up $1,100 x-rays and all of that, gets her free ACE bandage and goes home. That's the kind of stupidity that's going on in healthcare.
But the funny thing is, Steve, the word free is bad because people throw that word free around all the time. Now, when you get, because I have, but with my health savings account, and what I have is I actually get the bills, and I can question things, and I'm paying my deductible out of my account. I want to make sure I'm not getting ripped off. But when people, they gasp, they go, why is it that we pay $30 for an aspirin at the emergency room or at the hospital? Well, you didn't pay $30 for your aspirin. You paid for everybody's aspirins that didn't pay for them. It's just added into the cost. All these hospitals would go broke if they didn't add all the cost of the people that didn't pay into everyone else's bills. It's like the corporate tax rate. I try to explain this all the time to people, and I get this look on their eyes. They glassed over. Corporations don't pay taxes. People pay taxes. It's priced into all the goods that they have. But you're right on, Steve. People are irresponsible. Go ahead.
The only way that we tried this in California, that nationally, we should have a law that says not $1 can be taken out of your check for any reason whatsoever at all. In other words, if you make $1,000, you should get a check for $1,000. Now, make the employer still do a stub that you sit down and write a check for $150 of Social Security. You write a check to the federal. You write a check to the state. You write.
People actually start paying attention. You're right on, Steve. I mean, I agree with you. I, you know, I'm, I'm an advocate for a national sales tax. The tax code, and we're getting off topic to some degree, but that's okay. The tax code is where all the politicians' power comes from. It's used to divide us into various little groups. Give a write-off to this company when this one's in office. Give a write-off to that one when this one's in office. But do small businesses get any help? No. Tax code keeps getting larger and larger and larger. Big story recently about UBS and the Swiss banks, and they're going to have to report back all these earnings and all these accounts. What? You don't think that these New York lawyers are going to find another loophole somewhere? Of course they are. I mean, the whole system is a disaster. But you're right on. You're right on. Give people all their money. Make them be responsible for their own lives. Anything else, Steve?
When I have to take off, I've had a sticker in my window in my car for the last 8 years. I have to take it out today because it says Ted Kennedy's car has killed more people than my gun. And so it's probably in bad taste to leave it there. But I hope Mary Jo's family have peace of mind today. And I wonder what she could have contributed to our society if she was alive today. Maybe she would have done more. She definitely would have done more than Ted Kennedy.
Hallelujah, Steve. God bless. Thanks for the phone call. We got Annie on the line from lovely Denver, Colorado. Annie, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just sitting here thinking that the logic is fundamental. But even if you say you're entitled to health care, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're entitled to health insurance. At this point, you know, my husband and I don't have health insurance. I still have the right to health care, but I also have the right to pay for it. And,
yes, and Annie, before I go, you should get catastrophic coverage. It's very cheap. Very cheap. Get catastrophic coverage.
We're absolutely going to do that.
Okay.
It's just been a little bit of a gamble so far. We're young. We're healthy. We're going to go a while without it. But yes, I do agree.
Good point, Annie, and you're absolutely right. People, we got to go. First hour in the can. I am not the good doctor. I am Chris Markowski, but you are listening to the Savage Nation. Don't go anywhere. Make sure you get to michaelsavage.com, and you can also learn about me, your watchdog on Wall Street, at watchdogonwallstreet.com. We'll be back.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. This is Chris Markowski doing everything and anything he can to fill in for the good doctor. Welcome back to the program. I want to remind everybody out there, phone lines are going to be open throughout the entire program, 800-449-TALK. And I also want to remind everybody as well to make sure you get to the website, the Michael Savage website. He's done a great job at the site. A lot of great stories there. Stuff that, you know, kind of gets back paged in a lot of newspapers, ends up in the B and the C section because they're trying to spike it somewhere. Well, he comes up with this stuff. Get to his website at michaelsavage.com. You can also pre-order his latest book, which you know is going to be a New York Times bestseller, Banned in Britain. So make sure you get to that. I want to share with you something that I read several weeks ago before I went on. I went on a vacation. About 2.5 weeks, I went to Greece with my family. My wife's Greek, and most of her family's there, and we go there on a regular basis. This was written in Foreign Affairs magazine, which is put out by the Council on Foreign Relations. The United States is declining as a nation and a world power, with mostly sighs and shrugs, to mark this seismic event. The writer of this is Les Gelb, who's the president. Astonishingly, some people do not appear to realize that the situation is all that serious. When I was there in Greece, quick, Everybody's seen that movie. Most people have seen the movie. It was a big one out there. My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Did you see that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding? And one of my favorite characters in that movie was the father. And when she was a little girl, she's got her friends in the car, and she's telling the kids that every word out there can come from the Greek root, and he's going to tell you that, and the Greeks started this, and the Greeks invented that, and the Greeks created this. And it's so funny because it's kind of true, because Greeks do have a very, very high opinion of their history, and they're very, very proud of their rich history and their culture, and rightfully so. But I was at the Athens Museum with my wife's cousin, where we're going and looking at all these tremendous pieces of art and sculpture and all these great things, and we're debating back and forth about Romans and Greeks, and I threw out the line to him, well, what have you guys done for us lately? And I started thinking to myself after I said that, I was just kidding around, I said, you know what? Are we here in the United States, are we going to end up like the Greeks, with our biggest export being people all around the globe? They live all over the world. They got about 10 million people in their country. Looking back and saying, boy, we were this, and we were America, and we invented the computers and the internets and these drugs, and we built all these things, and it all being in our past. Is that what this nation is becoming? Is that what a specific political party and a specific movement wants us to become? Do they want to cut us down to size? Is liberalism about defeating and destroying American greatness? You know that's what the United Nations wants. They want to tax us. I mean, you take a look at it. It's all there. It's all laid out there right in front of us. Let's cut America down to size. Cap and trade. Ridiculous debt. Let's box us. We can't be. We have to be an equal. I don't want to be equal. I want to be exceptional. I want to be better. We got Tom on the line. Been waiting for a long time. Tom from New York. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Chris, congratulations on filling in for the Grand Master of Conservatism, Michael Savage. We pray for you and for him.
Well, thank you very much, my friend. God bless you, too.
Thank you. Chris, going forward on your point about keeping your opinions to yourself, I think this was a great nation when we used to talk about religion and politics. Not talking about religion has brought us radical Islam. Not talking politics and being quiet has brought us a desecration of the U.S. Constitution. These tea parties are great. We got to get back to the First Amendment, Chris. I'm sure you agree.
Oh, I agree 110%. But you know, it all has its roots in things. I mean, you can go to the public school system. I remember when I was in elementary school, you know, the Christmas pageants and singing Silent Night and doing all these things. And this was a public elementary school. Do you think they could ever do that today? I mean, we've got people up in arms getting bent out of shape over Christmas trees. And we got to just take a couple steps back. Dialogue is wonderful. Dialogue is great. And we have to stop. You know, it's like we've turned... I'm an equal opportunity basher. I go after Democrats. I go after Republicans because more often than not, they're both full of it. We need to stop putting ourselves into camps. Now, being a New Yorker, we've turned ourselves into in this country rivalry where you choose your sides and no matter what, you're sticking with your team. No, we need independent thinkers. We need people to go out there and research their opinions. Not to be afraid to offend everybody, because they're pulling that stuff again, Tom. They're pulling it right now. The governor of the state of New York said that he's doing poorly because of racism, and then tried to drive Barack Obama into it. Barack Obama used, I'm supposed to transcend race. He's going to be this, all the media, this is going to be the president that transcends race for the United States. What a crock. What a bunch of baloney. He used race to his advantage throughout his entire campaign. The media brings up race all the time. Janine Garofalo on Keith Olbermann's program, MSNBC, called us people that attended tea parties that were against what the administration is putting as racists. You know, when you use words and you throw words around like racist, okay, it's demeaning. It's demeaning to people who were actually victims of true racism. Yet the left has no problem throwing it around. Tom, thanks for the phone call. We got Chris from down here in sunny Florida wants to talk about Obama's health care plan. Welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Very well.
Sir, I only get a few channels on my TV. I can't afford it, so I don't pay for it. But I get this TV channel called CCTV, which is mm-hmm. out of China.
Yes.
And I've only heard Dr. Savage correlate Obama to the Chinese. Well, the other morning, I was watching the healthcare debate that's going on in China. And I'm wondering if Obama is getting his idea for healthcare from China. Because everything I'm hearing in this country, co-ops.
Well, you know what? I wish, Chris, that I knew more about what China is trying to do on healthcare. But if you do remember, during the campaign last year, Barack Obama did bring up during one of his campaign stops somewhere talking about how great and wonderful everything is over in China and how they're building ports and railways and all this grand stuff over there, kind of putting them up on a podium. This is when the Olympics was taking place last year. So I don't know. Could be me. You could be right. I'm going to have to look into the healthcare plan or what's going on over there in China. What I do know is this. We have the best healthcare system in the entire world. I am from Albany, New York, upstate New York. As a child, as a kid growing up, even then, we'd watch the buses come down from Canada every weekend to get medical care. When people need healthcare, when rulers of countries need healthcare, where do they come? But here, the United States. Why would you take that and scrap it? Why would you scrap it? Why would you demonize, go out there and demonize these people that go to school for these great lengths and sacrifice their time and borrow hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to school? Do you know that the average physician, this is a fact, the average physician in the United States makes $130,000 a year. You want to know how much Michelle Obama made at the University of Chicago Hospital as a community organizer, a community outreach person at the University of Chicago? She ended up getting her job because Barack Obama, as a senator, got that hospital money. Over $400,000. How is this fair? How is this right? We see, our priorities here in this country are so screwed up. We're celebrity obsessed. We look up to people who pretend to be somebody else on a movie screen or on television, rather than looking up to doctors and business owners and people who build and create and do things here in our society. This is what we need to focus on. This is what's going to make America great. Chris, thanks for the phone call. Really appreciate it. We got Mike on the phone from Portland, Oregon. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hello. My comment was that if Ted Kennedy had wanted his name on this health care bill, I think that I would want to see where he said that in writing before he died. He had plenty of time to say, hey.
I don't think he's requesting. You got to understand, it's a show, okay? It's political theater. Like the Democrats thought that whole Wellstone Memorial was going to allow them to win the Senate race in Minnesota. This is political theater. It's a show. Just like I said, watch C-SPAN sometime. When these guys are holding these conferences, they're waving their fingers at these CEOs, whoever the boogeyman of the day is. They're grabbing their torches and pitchforks. It's a show. That's all it is. They just say, "Ooh, this is an opportunity." What did Rahm Emanuel say? Remember what Rahm Emanuel said? Never let a crisis go to waste.
Democrats speaking for me after I died, because they're going to say things you never said. They're going to put your name on stuff that you never said you wanted it on. It's just totally, it's actually unfair to Mr. Kennedy. And I'm not a big fan of Mr. Kennedy, but why don't they just?
I wouldn't be surprised if he signed off on it. I wouldn't be surprised if he signed off on this thing at all, Mike. I don't know. We don't have the answers. We don't have the answers. We don't know. All I'm saying is let him do it because it's not going to sell in flyover country. Went real long in this break, people. We've got to take a quick break. 800-449-TALK is the number. You can be a part of the show. We got only a couple more lines, but we got a lot of people calling into the program. I'm going to do my best to get to each and every one of you out there. 800-449-TALK. Make sure you get to the website at michaelsavage.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation, filling in for the good doctor today. Myself, me, myself, and I, Chris Markowski. We got Joe on the line from my hometown of Albany, New York. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Chris, how are you doing tonight?
Very good.
I kind of am in favor of a government health plan, and I actually have a name for it.
Okay.
It's called VA Benefits. Mm-hmm. It's every young person serves their country. When they're done with their enlistment, are entitled to veterans benefits. It's a quick, easy way to give back to your country.
Wait a second. Young people, unfortunately, I explained this in the first hour of the program. Young people tend to be healthier than older people. So they need to purchase a different type of insurance that someone older has. This is the problem. We don't buy health insurance often in this country. What we do is we prepay for medical expenses. Young people should buy high deductible health insurance. So God forbid if something bad were to happen, they're covered and it doesn't lead to financial ruin. That's what health insurance is all about. That's what we need to get to. But we don't have that. I like your idea as far as service is concerned. I was coming up with an idea and throwing around an idea in regards to doctors and having, if the government pays for your medical school and your medical training, you have to serve X amount of years in community clinics and helping various different people out. But health insurance, we don't purchase it the right way. If we purchase it the same way that we purchased auto insurance and home insurance, the costs would come down. People, they just want to show up at the doctor whenever they want and pay $20. That's not tenable. Thanks for the phone call, Joe. We got Ted on the line from good old sunny Florida. Ted, welcome to the program.
Greetings. This is Ed.
Oh, sorry about that. How you doing, Ed?
That's okay. The main thing in life is self-responsibility. When I got out of the Army as a medic in 1966, that was the last time I ever went to a doctor. I am my own doctor. I may have a fool for a patient, but I eat well. I take care of myself. As far as self-responsibility at my home, I guard my family. We have an alarm system, a couple of dogs. I lock and load. I have a truck with 180,000 miles on it. I take care of myself. I got a free and clear place.
Ed, you're like many, many of Americans that are going to tea parties that have had enough. That's what this country was all about. That's what it was founded on. Most people don't realize this. The original Jamestown was a socialist state, and it failed. It failed miserably. The original Jamestown was socialist, and it failed. And we moved away from that. My problem with all these people is if this is what you want, if you want to be catered to, if you want the government to take care of you, if you want your mommy, there's countries around the world that you can move to and get that. Go! Don't let the door hit you in the tuchus on the way out. But I happen to live in Florida, where people are still pulling up on our beaches in 57 Chevys. So a lot of people want to come here. This is a nation that is all about personal responsibility. One of the things that I discuss all the time, and it's regarding financial matters, because we see so many ripoffs and scams and Bernie Madoffs and all this nonsense that happens all the time. I said it's not necessary. It's not necessary to happen. If everybody understood that everything in life that has meaning, that has value, that has worth, involves work, time, and effort. 1-800-449-TALK. Don't go anywhere. This is Chris Markowski filling in for the good doctor, and we'll be back.
Savage.
Having way too much fun here. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Chris Markowski sitting in for the good doctor. 800-449-TALK is the number you can be a part of the show. We're going to go to Chris. We haven't gone to Texas yet. Chris in Houston, Texas. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes. The passing of Senator Kennedy wasn't the only interesting thing that happened yesterday. In Arizona, there was a town hall meeting hosted by Senator McCain.
Chris, hold on a second. We got the clip. We're going to play the clip.
It's against the Constitution. Doesn't he know that we still live in under a Constitution?
I'm sure that he does. I'm serious. I'm sure that he does, and I'm sure that he respects the Constitution of the United States. I really do. I am convinced the president is absolutely sincere in his beliefs. But he is... Wait a minute. He is sincere in his beliefs. We just happen to disagree, and he is the president of the United States, and let's be respectful.
There you go, Chris. Is that what you're talking about?
That's the same John McCain that ran the Maverick Express into the ground. And now he's telling these same people that you should be respectful of this president regardless of how you feel about his legislation.
Let's break down, Chris. Let's break down. He says, I believe that Barack Obama respects the Constitution of the United States. Well, I don't explain that. Elaborate. Where? They're trampling on it every chance they get. They're trampling all over it. Do elaborate. But I'll give you, Chris, you know what? I'm going to give you my explanation, then I'll give you the floor. The Senate, the segment is a fraternity. Sigma Epsilon Nu. We should make them go around in little fraternity and sorority shirts all the time. Because that's what they are. It's a big club. And they're all buddies with one another. It's a big coffee clutch club. And they don't like, you know, in the Senate, they don't like to go after each other to that great of a degree. And that's why you take a look at the long history of presidents in the United States, and you take a look at some of the worst ones we've had. Where did they come from? The Senate. You got the floor, Chris.
And now, what started in Arizona yesterday was a bipartisan push, and he's going to bring some of the more liberal Republicans along with him to say, okay, let's get this done for Senator Kennedy. Let's get this done in his memory. But this is wrong, Chris. This is wrong. I'm a physician here in Houston myself, and I tell my patients when they ask me, they say, what's going to be our relationship, you know, if Obama's healthcare legislation passes? I said, well, first of all, you probably won't get to see me on a regular basis like you need to, because I only see my patients when they need to see me, not just when they feel like they need to come. And I told him, I said, now that probably will happen. I said, but as for me, I said I'm diverse enough in my background and in my education that I could weather this storm. And I say, and even then, my kids, my family will still get the best of health care because I and the others in my family that are physicians will be able to provide it. I can't say the same thing for you.
It'll be a two-tiered. Well, it could be end up being a two-tiered type of system like they have in many places in Europe. I was just in Greece. The example there is that they have the good, you know, healthcare system, and they got the healthcare system for everybody else. And then there's places like Great Britain where the healthcare is so bad that citizens from Great Britain leave there to go to Greece and Italy and other places to get healthcare. It's an absolute opportunity. You're absolutely right. But you know, one of the things that, and I know we ask a lot of, out of our doctors and physicians like you, and trust me, I've got, they're my client base all over the country, people that I deal with. The physicians and doctors in this country need to get better organized. The American Bar Association consistently organizes better and does a better job of basically lobbying and getting in Congress. Doctors need to get organized. They need to get their voices heard, just like you are here on this program, and I appreciate that, but you got to continue to do that. Thanks, Doc. And thanks for calling into the program here. We got Michael on the phone from Texas. Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello. I was just calling in to make a comment about your visit to Greece. I had a similar experience. I went to England about 2 years ago. We were doing the Boy Scout 100th year anniversary, and it was amazing. I noticed, you know, everywhere you go, there's history, but there's very little future. I think that's the biggest problem with most European countries is they...
But why... ask yourself the question, Michael, okay? All great civilizations, whether you look at the ancient Egyptians or the Greeks or the Romans, they were fundamentally conservative for a long period of time, placing an enormous importance on their elders and their history and their culture. When did they start declining, Michael?
Well, they started declining when you preserve your history at the expense of your future.
I disagree. I'll let you give your point, but I'm going to disagree with you there. When they let the culture degrade, when they became decadent, when the government became too large and all-encompassing and too big like we're doing today, when they fought amongst each other, the Peloponnesian War, 30 years, Greeks fighting Greeks, for 30 years! This is what brought their culture to... And this is the direction that we're heading. Your thoughts?
I believe I agree with most of that. It was a thing that, you know, I think there's something wrong when you're preserving, you know, things that are, you know, too big to be preserved. When I went to England, I went to Westminster Abbey, beautiful cathedral. It's falling apart. They are constantly having to rebuild the thing just to keep it, you know, standing.
Well, I have no problem with that because that, you know what, that's okay. Spend the money. Fix that type of thing. That's all right. You know, that's your history. That's important. That's okay. But why are you funding the monarchy? I don't know. See, we here in this country, we fund things. We fund sex shows in San Francisco out of the stimulus package. We're funding sex research at my alma mater, Syracuse University, out of the stimulus package. We're destroying ourselves from within. It's completely insane. The government has gotten too big, too overpowering. It's meddling in everything out there. And if you think, Michael, you just gave me a segue, and I appreciate the phone call. I deal with small businesses all across this country. Physicians, doctors. That's what I do for a living. Help them out. Manage money for them. This is what I am. This is what my business is. And let me tell you what the heartbeat of America is telling me. Because I'm out here in the trenches speaking with these people. They're scared. They're scared. Small business owners, they want to expand their business. They want to hire more workers. They want to bring more people on. They want to purchase that extra piece of real estate. But they're scared. They're scared. They don't know what is in front of them. They don't know what the landscape is going to be going forward. They don't know what they're going to have to pay in health care for new workers. They don't know what their tax rates are going to be because they see $9 trillion deficits over the next 10 years, knowing because these are bright people, they're small business owners, knowing that if you borrow something, you're going to have to pay it back, and they're the hard workers, and they're the ones that are going to end up paying it. They're scared of that. They're scared of cap and trade legislation. They're scared of it because they know what their energy bills are going to go up. They don't know what is coming forward. This recession, this financial crisis could have been over 2 years ago. 2 years ago, if we just applied free market principles to ending it. Allow the people to build. Allow the people to create. We've got another call in line. We haven't gone to Indiana yet. We got Matt in Indiana. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, man. My thing, I've actually got 2 points. The primary job that Congress has is, A, they're supposed to write laws, and B, they're supposed to represent the constituents. I don't know when the last time a congressman's actually written a law, because, you know, I mean, none of them have read anything.
Yeah, that's a good point. I want to interrupt you real quick, Matt. I'm sorry, because I want to. That's a really good point. Who out there actually thinks, who actually believes that the health care legislation and the cap and trade legislation were written in a couple weeks? And 1,000-page document, both of them multi-1,000-page documents. Does anyone actually believe that? Or was this crafted in a potpourri of special interest notes and whatnot thrown together? Anyway, go on, Matt. Sorry.
And my second point is, you know, not only do they not write the laws, which is what they're supposed to do to begin with, the other thing they're supposed to do is represent us, the voter. Because back when they were first put into place, they didn't have computers and modern ways to actually cast your vote one at a time. Nowadays, we have the technology that would allow me and you and everybody else listening to actually cast our own vote for all of these laws. So why do we even need them anymore?
Well, that's where you have a problem, okay? Pure democracy is, let me give you an example here. Pure democracy is five wolves and three sheep deciding what they're going to have for dinner. That's what happens when there's a pure democracy. Pure democracy is dangerous. We are not a nation of men. We are a nation of laws. And the Constitution is there to protect us. And we have individual rights. You want to talk about a disaster? Is allowing everybody to vote on every single issue out there? For crying out loud, we can't get the jury system right. They let OJ go. That would be an absolute disaster. These people are, we're supposed to put people into office to represent us that actually know what's going on, that are supposed to lead us. Now, the way the Constitution was originally constructed, the senators were supposed to be chosen by the state legislatures and represent the state's interest. This was more of a federalist type of a country. We've gotten away from that right now, and we've got the all-powerful, almighty Washington, D.C. overseeing the entire country. That's the problem. But you most certainly do not want to go to a situation with a pure democracy. That's extraordinarily dangerous. Matt, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate that. Who should we go to? You know what? We'll go to John in Austin, Texas. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Great. Thanks for letting me have a chance to vent. I think everybody's missing the true purpose of this whole health care reform by the left, and that is it's all about votes. And the reason I say this is it dawned on me the other day when one of the members of parliament was being interviewed, and he said that the British healthcare system is the third largest employer in the country behind the Red China Army and the Indian Railroad system.
I'm going to interrupt you real quick. I just want to throw in two things here. Do you know there was a story the other day in the, I think it was a UK, it was in the Independent or was one Daily Telegraph something, 45,000 British healthcare workers call in sick a day. I had another story here today talking about the thousands of people, the women that are giving birth to babies in hallways in that wonderful socialist Michael Moore touted British healthcare system. Go on.
Well, follow my logic here. 1.4 million healthcare employers makes it virtually impossible for them to go back to what we've got now because it represents such a big voting block. There are 60 million people that live in Great Britain. That's all, you know, Scotland, Ireland, England. If you extrapolate that out, if that were to happen here in the United States, that'd be 7 million voters. Now, those 7 million employees, and those employees would probably represent the largest union that was beholden to the left. Now, the margin of victory last election was Obama got 66 and McCain got 58 million?
I don't even think it was that far apart.
Yeah, so right there, that is a voting block that would be the strongest political block that they could have. And that's the real reason for this, because if they push it through, because why won't they give up on this public option? Why won't they just fix what's wrong?
Well, you got a good point. I never really thought about it in that manner. It's an excellent point. I guess it's the same way. You extrapolate that, you can say that's the reason why they want to make all illegal immigrants legal.
It's for immigration.
It's another voting block. I mean, the unions are losing. I mean, well, they've got great power now under the Obama administration, but the unions have lost power over the past 3-4 decades. I guess they got to come up with another block.
UAW used to have over 1 million members, and now they're down to 400,000, so they've got to replace it. Plus, now add to those 7 million healthcare employees the 10 to 15 million people getting free healthcare, and you've got over 25 million people that have to vote for the Democratic Party, or else they'll be out of jobs or out of insurance.
Great points. I mean, you're right on the money. You're right on the money. Thanks a lot, John. Appreciate the phone call. We got Jimmy from New York. Jimmy, welcome to Savage Nation.
It's a breath of fresh air to speak to you. Listen, I'm 79 years old. I must be doing something right in order to get to 79. And the doctors that are taking care of me fixed up my dislocated shoulder and my broken leg, and I'm as good as new.
Oh, no. According to Obama, you need to consult. You need to consult with the grand bureaucracy and see whether or not, you know, you should get those fixer-ups, because you know what? You may die soon. I mean, Jimmy, you're familiar with those commercials, those credit card commercials on the air when they talk about, you know, they do stuff like restaurants or like so-and-so priceless or so-and-so cost this, so-and-so this, you know, dinner with your wife priceless. Life is priceless. And this is what they don't seem to understand. It's a culture of death. Life is priceless. What I would give to have extra time to spend with my loved ones and family. Go on, Jimmy.
Yeah, one other thing. I listen to you, and you sound like a clone of me, or I'm a clone of you. You sound like an opinionated person, and when you talk upbeat. But when I talk like you, they tell me, what are you getting upset for? What are you raising your voice? But you're trying to express your point, you know? And when people like you talk, they say, oh, you're upset. And give me
passion,
an answer to that.
Passion is the word. And being 79 years old and sounding like you could step in and do the Savage Nation, Jimmy. You're passionate. And that's what life is all about. But that's what liberalism is the antithesis of, taking passion away. Got to go to break, people. Went real long in this segment. 1-800-449-TALK is the number. You can be a part of the program. 800-449-TALK. Make sure you get to the Good Doctor's website at michaelsavage.com. We'll be back.
Savage.
Guys, great phone calls. Spanning the globe, doing all sorts of topics from healthcare to personal responsibility to ancient Greek history. 800-449-TALK is the number. But I got to that at the end of one of the segments, and I'm feeling a little unsatisfied. One of the things that I say it every single week on my program, everything in life that has meaning, value, and worth involves work, time, and effort. And one of the reasons, in my belief, that the Savage Nation is such a powerful and such a popular show is the peasant wisdom that is basically put across the airwaves. Stuff that our grandparents taught us. Everything in life that has meaning, value, and worth involves work, time, and effort. We need to hold on to that. We need to hold on to a nation we were able to succeed beyond our wildest dreams, but on the flip side, also fail. I want that for my children. I want them to have that ability. But you know what? Failure comes along with it. There's two sides to it. Failure and falling down, it's a part of life. It's a part of life. Everyone falls. Everyone fails. The losers don't get up. But that's what the Savage Nation is all about. It's that type of passion. I'm going to leave you because we're going to have to end the hour here. Talked about early in the program, my wife's cousin, who I went with, was hanging out, spent a lot of time with. Recent graduate of Oxford. Oxford University, bachelor's and master's degree. His first job, which he's going to be starting in about a month, is going to be about 14,000 euros. That's it. 14,000 euros a year answering telephones for an airline. That's what socialism does. He's got no work experience. He's got nothing. Is that what you want here? We'll be back. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Want to learn more about me? Get to WatchdogOnWallStreet.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. I'm not Michael Savage. I'm not the good doctor. This is Chris Markowski sitting in for the good doctor. 800-449-TALK is a number. You can be a part of the program. Oh, well, I got breaking news here, guys. Good news here. Wow, look at this. Barack Obama backs offshore drilling. You hear that, people? Extra, extra right here on the Savage Nation. Breaking news. Barack Obama backs offshore drilling. Oh, wait a second here. Oh, we got to read the fine print. Oh, he's backing offshore drilling, not for the United States, but for Brazil. Oh, you know what? Better yet. Here we go. We, the taxpayers, we're sending $2 billion to Brazil so they can drill off their shores. And who's the company that's getting the money down in there, Brazil? Well, it happens to be owned by George Soros. Guys, couldn't make this stuff up if I wanted to. I know that this story is going to warm the good doctor's heart. George Soros is like Dr. Evil, Spectra, and Dr. No, all rolled into one. And it makes me wonder if he is not the guy, if he is not the man behind the curtain pulling the strings for Barack Hussein Obama. Really, seriously. And the funny thing is George Soros bought a large position in the stock in this Brazilian company right before this deal went through. How come I'm not hearing calls from insider trading? Anyway, we got Al on the phone from San Francisco. Al, welcome to Savage Nation.
Yeah, I'm back at Public Option. We have public and private universities. They coexist in choices. Competition benefit all students. And tell me, why do we need insurance companies when they inflate, superinflate cost?
Okay, we'll go through this point by point. What business are you in, Al?
That isn't germane.
What's that? I'm sorry?
I'm not in a business.
Okay, let's play pretend, Al. Al, let's say, Al, you own a restaurant. Let's say you own a restaurant, and you've got a good customer base, and you serve good food, and the people come in the door all the time. And let's say the government says, you know what? We are going to open up a restaurant next door to your restaurant. Yet the government is not concerned with marketing costs. They're not even concerned with making money. They're not concerned with any because it doesn't matter because they make the rules and they have a blank check. They can write as much as they want. How long do you think your restaurant would stay in business for?
Okay, the fact of the matter is...
No, answer my question. How long do you think your restaurant would stay in business for under those conditions?
But you didn't answer my question about public and private universities.
What is your question in regards to public and private universities?
Coexist and choices and competition benefit all students. We've had public and private universities for 200 years.
Public and private universities, people still pay. They still pay. They still have major endowments. Their alumni still give money to them. That is an absolutely silly analogy. Can you name for me, Al, one government program that has worked correctly? I was really ticked off, Al, quite honestly. I was really aggravated when the whole cash for clunkers thing started. The reason why I was aggravated was I didn't have a clunker. I've got some nice cars. They're fuel efficient. I didn't have a clunker. So basically, my tax dollars were going to be used to buy someone else's car, old car. And I couldn't even have the car. They were just going to go ahead and destroy the car. And we watched this whole debacle come down. Used car dealerships. They've been here in this country for decades. The government can't run a used car dealership program right. And you are going to allow them to take control of 1/6 of our nation's economy. Al, I believe in healthcare reform. I really do. And if you've been listening to the program, I'm an advocate of what we should be providing. True health insurance. High deductible health insurance. You own a car, Al, right?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have to pay car insurance?
Yes.
Does your employer provide the car insurance?
No.
Does the government provide your car insurance?
Absolutely not. But would you let me respond, sir? The VA hospital runs very well.
No, it doesn't run very well. It doesn't run very well. That's not true at all. It doesn't run very well. I mean, you're talking about putting 300 million people, 300 million people on a program. I mean, think about that for a second. How is that possible? Social Security is going bankrupt. That's a fact. Medicare is trillions of dollars in the hole. Al, I'd say, you know what? Let the government take over health care if they could run any of those programs correctly. But they haven't proven it. I mean, you haven't. The government has not proven to be responsible in any of their endeavors.
Most seniors like their Medicare program.
But it doesn't make any difference whether they like it or not. It's going bankrupt. The money has to come from somewhere. Oh. Eventually, there's going to be, you know, everybody loved having Bernie Madoff as their investment advisor. He was great. This is basically the same thing. Oh, Bernie, he was great. Well, man, I got great returns. I saw 14, 15% a year every single year. Never lost any money. Well, what happened?
Point. I agree with you, and that's this inflation of the resume of Teddy Kennedy. The mainstream media does it all the time. The Medal of Freedom was given to Reverend Joseph Lowry of Atlanta.
Yes.
And he's just a hustler. He solves no problems. I'm pretty sure you are aware that Atlanta currently has a crime wave.
Well, they're not the only place.
And these black communities, and I'm black, by the way, in these black communities, we have these hustlers always getting praised, and they solve nothing.
The people who solve stuff in all these communities, and what I'm an advocate for, is small businesses. Getting capital to people so they can go and they can open up their own store and create and build. That's what makes this country great. We have a lot. You know where health, I don't know if you're aware of this, Al. Do you know where health insurance actually started in this country? You know when it started?
No.
It started during World War II. The government put wage controls on businesses here in the United States because so many American men were off fighting in the Pacific, in Europe, all over the globe, that they didn't want businesses to have to pay ridiculous levels to bring people in and then put others out of business. Once again, the government getting involved in the free market puts wage controls on. So what do businesses start to do? Well, you know what? To get around it, so we can attract workers, we're going to offer benefits. We'll offer health care. We'll offer retirement plans. That's when it started. Why not just go back to the way it was before World War II? It's as simple as that. You take all the middlemen out. You take all the middlemen out. You make it a relationship between the patient and the doctor. Not the patient, the insurance company bureaucracy and the doctor. And then now the patient, the government, your congressman, your senator, some bureaucratic panel, and the doctor. Make it simple. How could this idea be so great if it's over 1,000 pages long? How long is our Constitution? You know the original Social Security bill? The original Social Security bill was only 37 pages long. Think about that for a second. Al, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for listening to the program here. We got Glenn from Ohio. Glenn, welcome to Savage Nation.
Well, Chris, thank you very much. We appreciate you taking my call. A couple of comments on the Medicare and health insurance plan. You know, I think that not paying up to $1,000 and then getting coverage, which is common, typical. The thing is any medical expense that an individual has that is under $1,000, nobody pays. He's responsible to pay himself. And if he does that, it's going to stop this hangnail and snuffy
nose. Glenn, I don't know if how long you've been tuned into the program. We have that. Bush put that into play with the HSAs and the high deductible insurance. That's what I have. I'm going to explain it again, okay, to everybody out there. This is available. This is available. And if everybody would just get their employer to say, hey, you know what? I don't want you to provide for me health insurance. I want you to give me the money that you pay to the health insurance company. I want to go shop for my own. I have a $5,600 deductible. That's the maximum you can have. It should be much higher for certain people. But you can get them for $1,000. You can get them for $3,000. I take that $5,600 and I stick it into an HSA which works like an IRA, lowers my cost basis. My insurance part is $3,000 a year. My total out-of-pocket cost maximum is under $9,000 a year. It's true insurance. And you're right on, Glenn. If we did things like that, people had to actually pay attention to the costs that are involved, it would make costs go down. You there?
The other point then is business, and maybe I might have missed a part of this, and I had my second point there, that businesses do not pay taxes. They put the money that they pay for taxes in the cost of the product, and they say that they can't afford health care for their employees. Well, they could if they put it in the price of their product. And once again, it's going to put it at the local level, and it's going to get the government out of our business.
Yeah, well, that's everything. All costs are passed on down to the consumer. It's as simple as that. Yeah, I say that all the time to people. I said corporations don't pay taxes. People pay taxes. And that's why I think we should eliminate the corporate. If we eliminated the corporate tax, what would happen to the price of goods and services? Everything would drop. We're the ones that pay it. You get these idiots in Congress saying, oh, we need to have confiscatory taxes on the oil companies. They're making too much money. Who's making the most money off the oil companies but in the federal government? They're making the most, not the oil companies. And all the oil companies are going to do is just raise the prices. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's right there. We got Ed on the phone from Montana. Ed, welcome to Savage Nation.
Good morning, or good afternoon. My comment is the government is in charge of millions of acres of forests out here.
Yes.
Literally, it's brown with pine beetles. They're being killed. And now they want to manage our health care? Give me a break.
Well, we're also spending stimulus money to count horses and also Savage allowing me the opportunity to get a little serenity now moment here today. I'd lose my mind if I wasn't allowed to vent on this stuff. We got Fred on the line from Mississippi. Fred, welcome to Savage Nation.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. I got a comment and then a question. With Barack Obama having about 36 czars now, five of them are pronounced as being devout communists. And they're his closest advisors. But looks to me like the new czar for the FCC is going to come backdoor on you guys and try to cancel you off the air.
That's definitely a concern. But I honestly believe, and maybe it's wishful thinking, that if they ever went in that direction, there'd be a complete revolt here. And one of the great things about the Constitution of the United States is we have a reset button every 2 years, and that's next year. And we're going to decide who's going to be going in, who's going to be taking place. And I would recommend to everybody out there, start putting new people in there. Start putting some small business owners. Start recruiting some of the people that actually, the real movers and groovers in your community that make things happen. Ask them to go and serve. Because the people we have in there now, they're just interested in the next election cycle. Most of them, for that matter. Another caller on the line. We've got Kathy from Pennsylvania. Kathy, welcome to Savage Nation.
Chris, I just wanted to say that I am so completely saddened by John McCain's comments in regards to Barack Obama.
But Kathy, are you surprised?
I'm not surprised, and that's why he did not win. But it almost seems to me like, you know, we're supposed to put these smart people into the Senate and the Congress, and it's almost like you have to be so politically correct you can't call it for what it is. I mean, it's very blatant. The whole health care thing is a complete violation of the 10th Amendment, and how can somebody who's a senator not see that? And it just seems like, you know, it's almost like when you're little and you're with your mother and you're walking down the street and she sees something, well, don't look at that, don't look at it, don't look at it. And it's like, wait a minute, this is wrong. And, you know, you want to call it out, but you're told not to. And this almost seems like that's what people are forced to do, is to be politically polite with it.
Well, Kathy, do you remember high school? You remember back to high school with the cliques?
Yes.
You know, I was a popular crowd and a not-so-popular crowd and all these various different things. Well, I've had the opportunity. I've been to inaugurations. I've been to various different events at Washington, D.C. I broadcast from both political conventions there. And let me explain something to you. These people, they want to get invited to the parties. They want to be a part of the in crowd, the cool crowd. I know it sounds juvenile, but that has a lot to do with it. They want to be deemed cool. They want the New York Times to like them. what's real freedom here in this country? Let me tell you when you're free. When you do not care what anybody thinks about you. The only people that I care about thinks about me is my wife, my family, my father, my mother, my brothers. That's it. That's freedom. These people, they're not like that. They want to be a part of the cool crowd. They want to get kicked out. Thanks for the phone call, Kathy. We got to take a break here. I want to remind everybody as well, though, get to michaelsavage.com. That's the website you need to get to. I'm going to be getting to a story on michaelsavage.com. And don't forget, you can sign up for his latest book, which is bound to be a New York Times bestseller, Banned in Britain. You can pre-order it there at the website. Phone lines are open, 800-449-TALK. Don't go away. Be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I'm Chris Markowski, filling in for the good doctor. 800-449-TALK is the number. I want to invite everybody to get to michaelsavage.com. There's a lot of great articles there. Stuff, see, it's unfortunate because newspapers back page stuff. They're actually the really important stuff they tend to put towards the back of the newspaper. And the Savage Nation and Michael Savage and all the people around him compile a lot of these articles. I'm going to share one with you here. We went long in the last segment, so I don't have a lot of time. Frank focused on reshaping U.S. finance. Congressman relishing pivotal role in overhaul. Barney Frank. Booty Flink! Suffering succotash! I thought I saw a booty cat! Think about this for a second. Barney Frank. Barney Frank is relishing his role in reshaping U.S. finance. He was one of the useful idiots that helped bring the whole thing down by forcing banks to make loans to people who can't afford to pay them back. Oh, let's break thousands of years of economic gravity because I'm Booty Flink. The closest Barney Flink got to running a business was that brothel out of his brownstone in Boston. We'll be back. Savage Nation, Chris Markowski filling in for the good doctor. 1-800-449-TALK is the number. We got Vinny on the line from North Carolina. Vinny, welcome to Savage Nation.
Chris, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I don't run around like Chicken Little at the sky's falling. I've got a quick story that will make sense to you if you follow it. Can I give
you... Sure, go ahead. I'd love to hear it.
All right. When I was a boy, a young boy, and only, you know, as you get older, you find out who your parents are.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that my dad's education through his life, the point was political history as a political science major and different things, and civics. So as I was growing up, he would point out articles to me and different things in the news. And I remember almost as far back, just before the Carter administration and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I could always see why he would say to me, well, you know, during this downtime, son, you'd see why interest rates are the way they are and unemployment numbers are the way they are and the prices in the market are reflective of this. And you could always...
I do that with my six-year-old today. Exactly.
Right. You could always kind of see how the roller coaster was the effect. But now, you know, Barack Obama, unfortunately, is the square peg that now fits in the round hole of this finalization of the true push for socialization in this country. And it's sad that the American people are slowly awakening. I mean, the town hall meetings, you know, they're not brown shirts. They're not Nazis. They're true American, red-blooded, hard-working people that are now seeing the government for what it's truly becoming and has become.
Vinny, you're 110% right. And let me try to take this back a little bit further. Because there's been such a power grab by Washington, D.C., We've got almost like a centrally planned, centrally run government. It wasn't supposed to be that way. We've got 50 states, 50 different states. And you know what? If one state wanted to run its because if people wanted to run it in a socialist type of manner, they could run it in that manner. And that if people wanted to live like that, they could go there. We don't have that here, that basically all 50 states, aside from taxes and a few other things, are for all intents and purposes the same. But I don't go into your house, Vinny, and tell you what color to paint the walls or what type of furniture you have. And you don't come and do that in mine. This country was set up a certain way that is based upon personal responsibility, freedom, making your own way in life. And that's great. That's fine. But that might not be everybody's bag. If it's not, and like, I guess, concentration camp type communist dictatorships is your thing? Oh, move to North Korea. Kim Jong-il would love to have you. Go to Cuba. You want a little bit more mild socialism? You can head over to Europe or one of the countries there. You have choices. Why do you have to impose this way in thinking on our country? The last great hope for the world. You know, what's amazing is you study world history and you take a look at these civilizations and all these things. And the reality of the situation is throughout world history, life has been, I'm going to quote the philosopher, nasty, brutish, and short until the United States came around. Why would we want to throw that away? Why would we want to wreck that, Vinny?
Well, because, again, too many generations have fallen to the spoiled me. You know, a friend of mine and I were talking this afternoon that the several generations above the baby boomers and part of them, they don't know what it is to actually not eat in the course of a day or have to work to eat through the course of the day because the government's always been there giving it and handing it and giving it and handing it. And this
country, well, it's the same way. It's like raising children. It's like, but it's like raising kids. You know, you've got to teach kids to be responsible. And you got to teach them a way to make their way in life. This is why the whole welfare system was set up in the 1960s Johnson administration. It was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster. We got the same amount of people, if not more, on the welfare rolls, living off public assistance here in the United States. Teach a man to fish. That's what we need. But that's not about power. Whoever, think about the power that's involved. And that's what all these politicians crave. If you provide for people, Vinny, their food, their retirement, their health care, and in some cases here in the United States, Section 8 housing, their housing, you control that person, don't you?
It's a prefixed level of survival. There's no real gain in it.
It's control. It's all about control. Many Americans want to live like serfs on the Lord's manor. That's that one. I explain this later on in the program. Two different type of left-wingers, two different type of liberals out there. There's the liberals that are smarter, better. They want to take care of you, and they deserve to fly around in their private jets and have SUVs and have all the things in life because they're just better. And they're going to take care of everybody else out there. And that group of people is the ones that want to get taken care of, that could give a darn about being responsible, that want somebody to hand them everything. Great call, Vinny. Thanks for it. Who should we go to? You know what? Why don't we go to Irish in Walla Walla, Washington? Irish, welcome to the welcome to the Savage Nation. Excuse me, Freudian slip there. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for letting me on. Hey, I just wanted to try to open some people's eyes to the healthcare system that's in Canada that, you know, is part of the proposal here. I was walking to work yesterday or the other day, and I talked to a physician on the way in. And how he explained it to me is, I'll give you two points. Number one was he was from Canada, and he had a daughter, and his daughter had a child and was born with club feet. I don't even know what that means, but it doesn't sound good. They deemed it unnecessary to fix that problem up there. They came to the United States, paid for the child's health care here, and got the procedure done in a couple of days.
Irish, where I live down here in Southwest Florida, we are having, I mean, there's certain immigration rules from Europe, and I don't know exactly how they work, but if you are a British citizen, if you buy a business here in the United States, you get a green card. I can't tell you how many people from Great Britain, France, the Netherlands, from all over Europe that are moving over here to Southwest Florida. And when I speak with them, they're my neighbors, and talk with them, one of the reasons they cite, number one reasons they cite for moving to America is healthcare. is health care. And these are not older people. These are young families. They want out of the nonsense. They don't want to have to fly to Hungary to see a dentist.
Right. So, hey, if I could make one more point real
sure.
quick. Another thing that I talked to him about was how the health care was doled out up there. And I'll just give you layman's terms kind of how he gave it to me or how I understood it. But basically what he said is the money is doled out on a per capita basis. And I'll just give you an example kind of like he gave me. Say there's a small town of 10,000 people. They get X amount of dollars per year to spend on their health care.
Once it's gone, it's gone.
Once
it's gone, it's gone. It's rationing.
Right.
And that's what we're going to have here. Any single time you're going to get the government involved, there is going to be rationing. That's why if you take a look at this health care bill and you look at what's in it, they want to obviously put value on time. They want to start addressing the issue as, okay, you know, you're so-and-so old. You know, maybe that heart surgery would only make you live another 5 years. Sorry. Rejected. 5 years? 5 years. Think about this, people. I can't even imagine. If I knew, if I had, you know, God forbid, I had some terminal disease, and I knew that some procedure would allow me to live 5 years, and I'd have five more years with my family? There's no amount of money. You cannot put the value on life. You can't put the value on a sunset. You can't put the value on a child's smile. These things are impossible to value, yet, the Democratic Party can figure it out. They got a formula. They've got a mathematical formula. They got a cost of living, blah, 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 blah. Do you know in Great Britain, for a while, people had macular degenerative syndrome, which makes you go blind, only allowed people to get the necessary treatment for one eye. So people were going blind in one eye. I mean, it's, like I said, it's insanity. Insanity. Savage is right. I scream it all the time. Liberalism, mental disorder, makes no sense. On to next. We've got Ann in Chicago. Ann, welcome to the Savage.
I'm here.
How
Thank
are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
It's an honor. Thanks for being a part of the program.
Over the last 7 months since Barack Obama has taken office, we've been seeing a lot of distressing behavior. And I'm extremely concerned not only about the deficit, about the amount of spending. I find him to be extremely hypocritical, you know, always criticizing Bush and what his deficit was. But, of course, we've surpassed
If you take, Anne, oh, real quick, if you were to take all of the deficits that Bush ran, and remember what Bush was dealing with during his presidency, it doesn't come close to this year's Obama's deficit. I don't know if you're aware of this, Anne. 10 years ago, Bill Clinton's last budget, last federal budget, was $1.7 trillion. $1.7 trillion. Our deficit this year is going to be larger than that. Go on.
Well, my question basically is now I'm extremely concerned about these czars. I've never seen a man who has so many individuals doing possibly his little dirty work. Who pays these?
Exactly. People? Is it legal? Is this legal? Is anybody even alpha? Is this legal? The only person I think that actually questioned it, Ann, was Robert Byrd, Democrat from West Virginia. He was like, what's going on here? There's no oversight, all these people? We've got czars? Kings? I mean, what? You're right. I mean, it scares me. You're right, Ann. Everybody should be frightened about this. But he should be up in arms in this. And you see some of the resumes of some of these people?
And one of them doesn't even have a resume. And he's the little green genie from the bottle.
Van Jones there is his name you're talking about? Van Jones, the green jobs guy, the avowed communist?
Yes, and they have gone ahead and tried to find something on him, and apparently from the Freedom Information Act, and they're not able to find anything on him. So who hired him? Who's paying his salary? What are these people supposed to be doing, and who are they answering to?
And it doesn't make any difference what they find out to the people that are the ultimate Barack Obama supporters. They remind me of the people who are drugged in the Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, where Kalima, Kalima, Obama, Obama, he can do no wrong. I mean, take a look at the dirt that we had about Obama during the campaign. A guy that hung out, started his political career in the living room of a terrorist. Started his political career there. Did it matter? No, doesn't matter. Reverend Wright, doesn't matter. Doesn't have none of his transcripts from college. Can't, nope, none of that matters. None of his writing from college. Nope, nope. Nope, forget about that. Not focus on his coke use. The focus on the fact that this guy has done nothing. He is the most underqualified president in history. But it's hopey changey. And the media said, oh, this is going to be good. And right, if you notice, right after he got inaugurated, they were coming out with their DVDs and their books and their discs. And they're making a fortune off Barack Obama. This guy wrote two autobiographies. How is that possible? What have you done? What have you done? This is a guy that's in bed with Soros, a story I did at the top of the hour. He just gave $2 billion to a George Soros corporation to drill off the Brazilian coast, yet we can't drill here. I hope, Ann, I hope, and I pray every single night. I pray, my prayer, it's real simple. I pray for wisdom, but I also pray for wisdom for America, for all Americans, that they can open up their eyes. We're like in that Plato's cave. So many Americans are like the Plato's cave. Instead of turning around and looking into the light, we're looking at the cave wall with just the shadows. And we've got to get away from that. But that's what places like the Savage Nation are all about. Got to take a break. 1-800-449-TALK is a number. You can be a part of the big show. Make sure you get to the website. MichaelSavage.com is a place you need to get to. MichaelSavage.com. Make sure you pre-order his latest book. Guaranteed. It's going to be a New York Times bestseller, Banned in Britain. Get it right there and don't go anywhere. We'll be back. Savage. Savage Nation, this is Chris Markowski sitting in for the good doctor. We've got on the line Ginger from Virginia. Ginger, welcome to Savage Nation.
Good evening, Chris. I'm calling you from my cell phone, so I hope I don't break up and lose you.
Oh, I hear you.
Okay. I have several points that I want to make, and then I have one question at the end. I just wanted to remind the viewers out there about Soros and how he devalued the dollar, the pound in England. And in France, and now he's working on this country.
Well, not in that, Ginger. He's also done that with other countries as well, and he's actually banned from going into certain countries, rightfully so, unlike Dr. Savage. Not to mention the fact he was also shorting stocks after 9/11, American corporations.
I know. And, you know, I also want to make a point about Obama. He when he swore to uphold the Constitution, I heard on a speech that he made before he became president that he doesn't believe in the Constitution.
Wow. I mean, I didn't hear that. I heard in a speech, I heard him one thing. I think it was on PBS, if I'm not mistaken, one interview that he did talking about problems that Supreme Court justices had made. And he was actually talking, if I'm not mistaken, about the Warren Court, and they didn't go far enough on various different issues. But some good points. And Ginger, if you've got, I've never heard that soundbite where he said he didn't agree with the Constitution. But if you have it, email it in. We'd love to take a look at. Thanks for the phone call. We got Jim on the line from Portland, Oregon. Jim, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, hello there.
Hi.
Hey, what I'm calling about is I think that we really need to get these insurance companies slapped around and get them back in line.
How do you do that, Jim? How do you go? Let me explain. I mean, I'm not going to even ask you. I'm going to explain you how you get insurance companies in line. Have more of them.
Well,
allow for more competition in the industry. Do you know that there's more private insurance companies in Germany, in France, than we have here? Competition brings costs down. The ability to purchase insurance across state lines get the government out of insurance. Why do the citizens of California have to pay on health insurance, pay for people to get sex changes? Why?
Here's a good example.
I'm asking you a question. Why?
Listen to my side. I'm up here in Oregon, and I have a simple work comp thing. They deny me because it's run by the state, which you probably say, well, you know, there's a problem. But then I have Blue Cross Blue Shield on top of that, and they deny it because it's experimental back surgery. Please give me a break. Then I got Aflac on top of that, and then they come back and say, well, no, it happened at work. So everybody's pushing the button all the way around.
If there is more competition in the industry, these things will go away. We don't have enough health insurance companies. We've got too much government involvement. Do you honestly think that under a government plan that they were going to allow you to get that experimental back surgery?
Well, it's not experimental. The guy does it every
day. Well, I don't know. You told me it was experimental. That's why I'm just saying that. But you think that they would allow that to happen with the rationing? They don't allow people in Canada to get MRIs. You got to wait. If we were Canadian citizens, my brother who was just diagnosed with cancer wouldn't know. Thanks for the phone call, Jim. You know what? We're out of time. That is the fastest 3 hours I ever had in my entire life, and I apologize to all the callers that I couldn't get, but I most certainly have to thank the great Dr. Savage for allowing me this opportunity to do the program. I want to remind everybody out there, to get to the Michael Savage's website at michaelsavage.com. MichaelSavage.com, get his, pre-order his new book, Banned in Britain. And if you want to learn more about moi and my program, The Watchdog on Wall Street Show, get to my website. Everything on my website, absolutely free. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com. Thanks, everybody. Good night. Savage.